Like I said yesterday afternoon, it was the turn of the IFP's leader, Mangosuthu Buthelezi, announcing the party's election manifesto. On the line is Professor Ivor Sadakinski from the Wits School of Governance. Professor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon to your listeners.
Looking at what the IFP had to say yesterday, what do you take from their election manifesto?
Not sure. Like so many of the manifestos, they're broad statements, lots of promises. So it's difficult to see what's innovative, what's new, what's different, and what is a response to particular communities in order to incentivize them to vote for them. So it's hard to answer that question.
Coming through from yesterday, there was a sense, I thought, of gravitas from Mangosuthu Buthelezi. He's got many decades of experience. He seems to know what works and what doesn't work. Is that enough to gain support, to have people look at him and say, right, here's a leader who actually walks the talk?
Well, it seems to be paying off, that approach to him being the publicity head of the IFP in its campaigning. Because if we look at by-election results and municipal elections, the IFP has recovered quite significantly. So I think that the election strategy that is currently underway through the IFP has proven to be quite effective. So I would go along with that. I think gravitas, the perception of communities of leaders, is possibly going to play more of a role in this election than any other.
Yeah. Okay, so some parties have fared better than others. Has it for you just been these same old promises or something new? I mean, for you, from the EFF to the ANC to the DA, who else has actually stood out for you?
Unfortunately, none. I think that South African political parties are very conservative in how they draft these manifestos. They'll do opinion polls, they'll do focus groups, and they'll try and identify through those processes what will be an issue that will get traction. And that means that they don't have a big picture view of what society is really looking for. And they get bogged down too close to the reality that they're supposed to be engaging, transforming, acting in. And I think that that's a pity. There's not much adventure in terms of these manifestos. We've got serious challenges as a society. Out-of-the-box thinking is what we really need, and I'm not seeing that in any of the manifestos.
Yeah. It just appears, though, that the ANC, the DA, the EFF, maybe not so much the EFF, but the first two parties seem to have missed the boat when coming to electioneering, to really striking up the fires and saying, vote for us.
You've got to be careful there, because it's a question of timing. So a lot of work's on the ground, where we're weak, where we're strong, what kind of work needs to be done in order to mobilize our constituency and to catch other voters in terms of them converting them to us. So we're in the early stages of the electioneering. I think next month things will start to get much hotter as we see particular messages being sent out to particular communities. So we're in the soft space at the moment. It's going to get much harder and tougher in the next month.
Yeah. I'm just reading some statements here, some SMSs that I've got. The EFF being accused of being unrealistic with their election manifesto. The DA being lackluster. Do you agree with those statements?
Yes. To make a promise that you're going to double social grants is just unrealistic. There just aren't the fiscal resources for that. And we're in such trouble fiscally as a country already. So that just can't happen. The DA lackluster, the BEE issue, they had an opportunity to do something interesting by breaking away from race as the threshold, and then ANC light kicked in and they conformed to conventional wisdom. So a lost opportunity there, in my view. And the ANC just isn't putting forward an agenda that can get them out of the mess that in many respects they've created. We're not seeing anything innovative on how to manage state-owned enterprises and get them out. It's more of the same, but we're just going to do it better this time. And I think that that's missing an opportunity too.
Yeah. Just looking, I think the City Press yesterday broke the different provinces down pretty nicely, actually. Gauteng, I mean, is it going to be a swing province? Are we going to be looking at a coalition government, do you think?
I'm going to sit on the fence, and I'm going to say that it's just too close to call. And I'm not looking at any of the polls. I don't buy any of the polls. If I look at election results over a period of time, municipal and national, and break it down provincially, both of those, it's going to be so close that it's difficult to call. And the prospects of a coalition, I think, are reasonable too high. And we mustn't just assume that it's going to be a DAESF reproduction of the municipal coalitions. It might just be that the ANC needs one or two people to vote with them. And then we've got to start to look at the smaller parties. And they might come to the rescue of the ANC in Gauteng. So It's a completely uncertain, unpredictable environment at the moment.
Thinking about the Northwest, I'm thinking also about the Western Cape. Are you also thinking about any other election surprises?
I'm not seeing any other provincial areas to watch. I think Gauteng's the only big one. I'd be surprised if there are any changes of leadership in the other provinces. The only thing that will change is the percentage majority. The Western Cape might go down for the DA. I think it almost certainly will go down for the ANC and all the other eights that they're in charge, or maybe seven after the election. So it's the percentage decline that governing parties experience in a following election. And that will tell us a lot what that decline is in terms of dissatisfaction with the DA in the Western Cape and ongoing dissatisfaction with the ANC in other provinces. That for me is the second big story.
Mm. Professor Ivor Sarakinski from the Wits School of Governance, great to have you on the Kalani Gwala Show.